Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I am Joe DeLeon, and with me as always, my good friend and NFL draft analyst, Ryan Roberts. Today, we're going to be doing our running back rankings. And past couple shows, I have, or not past couple shows, but past couple ranking shows, Ryan, the theme I have led into the show is, I hate my list. And you know what? The next three shows until we're done this week, because we've got running back, we've got safety, and we've got quarterback, and then the nail is going to be finally in the, you know, in the coffin. I'm going to say every single show, I hate my list. I don't know about you, but I feel gross. I feel very gross about what I'm about to share with you today.
You feel gross because of the players we're talking about, or because you're not confident in your list? There's a very different conversation that comes from
not,
that.
Neither. I feel gross because I, it's not a lack of confidence. It's just, I don't feel good about the list I'm about to give. I have grades that I feel confident in and that I would support. I have analysis and notes that I would support and stand on the table and say, this is what I believe about this guy. But at the same time, like, I've got high guys that are probably way too high. I've got certain guys that are probably way too low compared to the consensus. Frankly, I don't care.
Who cares about the consensus? Who cares?
Right. Running backs, anything can happen at running back. I really don't care what everyone else thinks.
Well, I mean, every single year we have a random day three running back, it seems, that becomes the best running back in the NFL. I mean, super hyperbolic, but we've seen James Robinson. We've seen Kyren Williams in year two as a all-pro player after being a fifth-round pick. I mean, like, it happens all the time, man. Situation matters so much for running backs, which is why it's always fascinating with these lists, honestly, because there's so many different types of running backs. And I think that on these types of lists, it more shows the evaluators' bias as far as like what they like as a running back evaluator. Like, what's your type? You know, like, there's some guys that love the small, shifty space types. There's some that like the big battering rams. I mean, where's the balance of your evaluation as far as the running back position? Because at the end of the day, it really does matter mostly where they get drafted, not when they get drafted, where they get drafted.
Exactly. Perfect way to put that. I think that we need to take everything with a grain of salt, but folks, make sure you hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and then let us know while you're watching, comments on your thoughts on what we think about these guys, and then maybe guys and where you have them ranked compared to where we're bringing them up. I'm going to start us off, Ryan. My 10 through 6, as we always do on this show. Number 10 is Marshawn Lloyd from USC. Number 9 is – no reaction there. Number 9 is –
Wait, say that one more time. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. Say it one more time.
Marshawn Lloyd is number 10 for me from USC.
It's fine.
Number 9 is Rasheen Ali from Marshall.
Oh, hater.
Number 8 is Will Shipley from Clemson.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I thought I was just giving a reaction every time now. I'm sorry.
Number 7 is Audric Estime from Notre Dame. And then number 6 is Ray Davis from Kentucky. See what I'm talking about here?
Our lists are going to be so different, Joe. Different, man. Oh, my gosh. I don't even understand. First question is, why do you hate Rasheen Ali, man?
I don't. I thought that was a very fair placement for him. I thought that was very bullish for a guy that's a Sun Belt running back. I loved him. I loved his tape. I thought he was really fun.
We don't like to use the word fun, sorry. I just apparently liked his tape a lot more, I guess. I don't know. I'm just looking at my ranking and liked him a little bit more.
So he's probably going to be like number 3 for you. I think the only thing for me, I think he's great in space, and I don't think that he's got the power profile
that's fair
that I'm looking for in a running back. So like that's kind of the little caveat there that I had with him.
No, that's fair. That's fair. He is definitely a space player. He's a true outside zone runner. Dude, can you imagine the San Francisco 49ers drafting him though? Could you imagine it? It would be just bonkers. Now, obviously, Christian McCaffrey's on the team, so it wouldn't matter as much. But like, remember what Elijah Mitchell did his first year with San Francisco? Like, it could be the same exact thing if Rasheen Ali was on that type of team. But conversation for another day, I guess. My 10 through 6?
Yep, go ahead.
I didn't clown you for number 10 because I also have Marshawn Lloyd at number 10 from USC.
Okay.
So same exact placing. Number 9, Ray Davis, Kentucky. Number 8, different name, Tyrone Tracy Jr. from Purdue.
I watched him. I thought he was fine.
Fine. Oh man, you are a tough critic tonight, man. You are a tough critic.
A little bit.
All right. Number 7, Bucky Irving, Oregon. Number 6, Blake Corum from Michigan.
Huh. I was not expecting the Bucky Irving placement. I want to have a quick conversation about Marshawn Lloyd before we start doing our back and forth here.
Yeah.
I do not, without a doubt at all, understand how this guy has become a thing. And look, I know sometimes I am low on USC prospects, and I'm just trying to put this out there before anyone runs to be like, you're a Notre Dame fan. Of course you're hating on a USC guy. The past couple drafts, they have put out guys that haven't really made sense to me. And he's one of those guys that doesn't make sense. He doesn't have the production. There's a couple of games against really bad teams where he put up really good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime that they played a defense worth a damn, he was non-existent.
He didn't produce.
Yeah. And there was a really interesting stat that was put out there. That graphic, I think it was Arjun Menon who's the one who put that out. That,
mm-hmm.
I think it was him, right?
I think so.
I'm talking about
the versus loaded boxes and efficiency. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
It was an illustration of guys who had the highest yards per carry per the amount of loaded boxes that they faced. And his yards per carry was, he was like one of the worst for loaded boxes that he was facing because he had Caleb Williams that the defense had to account for.
Yes.
And the way that offense is run, it's very spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So he benefited from a lot of wide open rushing lanes. He's this year's Zach Charbonnet that a dump truck could fit through the lanes that he was given.
That's not a bad
and
comp.
He runs a 4.440. He's very fast. So he's going to look really good when he's running. But his change of direction is horrendous. He is really slow when he cuts. No one talks about that. And for a 220-pounder, he doesn't hit anyone. He's not like a bruising guy. I don't get it. Explain it to me, Ryan.
I also don't think he plays as well as he tests. Like, did I think linearly he was solid? Like, yeah, I did not see 4.47 or 4.46, whatever the heck he ran. Like, that's a great time for a 220-plus pound back, man. It really is. So, I mean, we see him very similarly, Joe. I think that he is solid player, right? And if you're a committee approach and heavy inside zone team, I think his vision is pretty sufficient. I think that his explosiveness is solid to good. I mean, and he's obviously a little bit of a bigger back. So, I mean, that forward momentum is nice. But I agree. Can't change direction very well. And he's actually solid in the passing game. I actually thought he was a little bit better than I anticipated he would be in that regard, which is a good sign for him. But he also, I think we forget, he had a lower leg injury earlier in his career with South Carolina as well. So, like, I mean, there's a little bit of mileage on those tires, at least from a durability perspective. So, yeah, man, he edged out Braylon Allen, Joe. Braylon Allen was going to be number 11 for me, okay? So, and I think that those guys are kind of tightly packed together, or are they not? I mean, they're very similar-ish backs, in my opinion, as far as body type and play style and all those types of things, right? So the Marshawn Lloyd stuff has just gone too wild. You know what's the craziest part is that I think the NFL kind of agrees with the perception that's out there on Marshawn Lloyd. I think he could be a top 3 to 4 back drafted in the end of April. Like, it's very possible that happens. It is very possible.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I give up if that happens. He is... Like, I don't, this is one of the few guys that I don't get the hype for that, like, yep. I'm going to sit here and pound the table and go, I really think in a couple of years, we're never going to even talk about Marshawn Lloyd again. We're going to be like, why did we do that? There's always one back that, like, gets really hyped up and then, like, we never really hear from.
Yep.
My number 5. Okay. Don't listen to this. I have Jonathan Brooks from Texas.
Number 5, huh?
Is it because I'm low? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, you're a little bit lower than I am. Just a little bit. I guess I'll just throw it out there and then I'll let you do your analysis, right? But like, I have a number 3, so it's not like we're crazy far apart. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
The running back conversation is very convoluted because injury does have to come into play here. And the guy that I'm going to talk about in a little bit with Blake Corum, his injury perspective is different than Brooks's. Brooks is coming off of a significant knee injury, middle of the year. I don't know how early available he's going to be. If we're talking about like pure talent,
yep,
great linear athlete. I think he's very explosive. He's a great cutter. If he's great at finding space and picking up huge splash plays. I just get really careful with a guy like this because of the injury history. And it sucks that I have to account for this in a ranking. Like, it feels weird because like I'm kind of doing the counter for Blake Corum, which I'm going to do in a second.
Yeah.
He's not going to contribute until year 2. That's why I feel a little weird about him.
It's a part of the evaluation process, though. You know, my biggest hangout with Jonathan Brooks, I don't think he played enough. He strikes me a lot more as an athlete than a natural football player, natural runner, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
He is explosive to your points. He changes direction really well for a back his size because he's not a small back. And I think that I would have loved to see, and I'm always in favor of running backs leaving early, right? Like, I'm always in favor if they are capable of it, leave early to get to that first contract or a second contract, excuse me. But I really would have, I think that he would have benefited so much if he would have came back in 2024. Because I just think that I don't think he's played enough football yet, man. He just looks kind of, robotic's not the right word, just like unnatural running the football sometimes. Where I'm just like, I think there's more there. I just think that it's going to take a little bit to fully get it, if that makes sense.
I totally agree.
Number 5, this is why you're a hater, man. Rasheen Ali, number 5, Marshall. Brother, I'm going to put it this way, Joe. There are very few running backs in this class, in my opinion, that have a trait that you can lean on. Okay. I don't want to call it elite because elite is a very hyperbolic word, right? But Rasheen Ali in space is special, man. Like, special. When he gets into the open and he's able to have second and third level vision, my guy makes guys miss. He's incredibly explosive, and he's got something that not many backs in this class have. He's got a third gear, man. Like, he can take the top off of a defense. I am so sad that he wasn't able to test because of the pec injury that he withstood in the Senior Bowl, because I think that Rasheen Ali would have probably run 4.4 something, probably would have had a high 30-inch vert, 37, 38 inches, maybe 40. I don't know. I think that he would have tested bananas, and we would be looking at him as a continued riser throughout this process. Because people forget. Because of the pec injury that cut his week short at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile. He was dynamic the first day, yeah. Man. Like, so good. His ability to manipulate space, I think, has potential to be special. So that's why he's number five for me and why he was over guys like Blake Corum, like Bucky Irvin. Because I just think he has a trait that is borderline special. I think he has something there.
I think he totally could have been this year's Tyjae Spears. You know, he could have, if he didn't get hurt and he tested.
He's better than Tyjae, though. That's the crazy part. He's better than Tyjae. So.
Sure. I just was a little held up, as I mentioned earlier. The lack of power, like, I feel like he doesn't, like, power through a lot of tackles. He's got to use his athleticism to create space. And sometimes you're not going to be able to do that in the NFL. I am more so the reason why I placed him where I did. I just don't know if I see him ever becoming a number one back. I think he is a high end second back. And that's why I was a little bit colder on him than I think. I had a feeling you were going to be this high. So this doesn't totally surprise me.
He's been my guy, man. The entire cycle. Like, there's no quit in Rasheen Ali, man. Zero quit.
My number four.
Yes.
And this is where we kind of go off the wall. I had Blake Corum. Okay. This one, like, I couldn't figure out what I like really hated about him, because the real issue with him is that he's coming off the knee injury.
Yep.
And the burst that he had the year prior isn't there. It's just not there.
But he could come back.
Right.
It's just an ACL.
So this is why I'm not worried about it. Mm-hmm. And this is why we have to talk about the injury stuff with these running backs. There's a lot of times where these running backs will get hurt. And if you listen to experts talk about this stuff, I'm not a doctor, so I apologize if I'm getting any of this wrong. But a lot of times they'll talk about how the second season back from a knee injury is usually the season when you get back to that full explosiveness. Yep. Saquon Barkley is a really good example of that. He comes back from his torn ACL a couple of years ago, and his best year was 2022 in recent memory.
Yep.
Or one of his better years, rather. So I think that Blake Corum can get back to that explosiveness. I think what makes him so unbelievable is that the vision that he plays with. Now, I want to reference this graphic again that I found really interesting. He saw the second most amount of stacked boxes and had like a decent yards per carry average. So this is not a situation where he's just benefiting from a good offensive line.
Yeah.
You watch the tape, you see that there's really small gaps that he has to find. And because he's so good at cutting in and out of those and weaving in and out of them, he still is able to find those yards where he can get them. I think he also has some physicality to him, which is going to be important for him to be productive. For me, though, he is super boom or bust. Because of the injury stuff, he's either going to become...
You think so? Interesting.
Okay. I think he's either a really high-end two, if not a starting running back, or, you know, he's bouncing. He's like a guy that you pick up the phone and you call when you need a running back, and he's just not on a roster.
Huh. Wow, that is a wide gap there. That is a very wide gap of outcomes.
That's why I feel weird about where I put him.
I put Corum at number six, man, so I like Blake Corum a good bit. I actually think that we kind of view him eerily similar. Look, his best part, Joe, second level, he makes guys miss in a phone booth, man. He is incredibly quick, and he's low built to the ground. I mean, he breaks some tackles, man. He can work through contact a little bit. He reminded me a lot of Ray Rice in 2022. I agree that 2023 version was not quite the same athlete as it was in 2022 before the injury. If he gets back to that, though, man, I think someone's going to get a steal, because I think that this kid might be available in like the third or fourth round, and someone could end up getting a steal in Blake Corum. Very possible in this class. Very possible. Speed. You ready for speed? Fastest guy on the list, man. Number four, Jalen Wright, Tennessee. Jalen Wright, 4.38 at the combine. He is 6 foot. I believe he weighed in about 210 pounds, if I remember correctly, at the combine. So he's not a small back. He's not the biggest back on the list, though, obviously. My guy, Joe, is one of those players that when he sorts correctly and he gets a gap, he's gone, man. He's got the home run speed in this class. Now, that being said, I don't think he sorts as well as some of these backs. Like we just mentioned Blake Corum. I think Blake Corum has incredible vision and feel as a runner. Absolutely great. Jalen Wright is a little bit more green in that area. I don't think he sorts through traffic incredibly well. But, man, he's another one of those kids that if you get him in the right system, thinking like a heavy outside zone system, and he's just in a good...
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories.
But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Situation, the kid could be very good. He could be very good because he's one cut out. He's got tremendous speed, and I think he's pretty quick. You know, he changes direction pretty well. I think he's requisite in a pure overall athleticism perspective in every area, but his speed is what separates him. Jalen Wright, Tennessee.
Man, I'm understanding of the conversation that we're about to have in a second.
Oh no,
I'm understanding who your number two is. Jalen Wright's my number two. I feel really dirty after I've discovered from, again, this graphic that Arjun put out is fantastic.
Yep.
He had one of the highest yards per carry. He was the worst category that you could have been in, where he had the highest yard. Actually, not the worst category. Will Shipley was in the worst category because he had a really low yards per carry and a very low percentage of.
Oh, he stinks. He stinks. Will Shipley stinks. Yeah. Yeah.
Jalen Wright was upper category for yards per carry, yep. But we know that Tennessee offense is spread out as all hell. Okay. So like he benefited from that, but you talked about why I love him. You give him the football, you scheme him a little bit of space and he's gone. Like this is one of the few pure home run threats on the board here that we're talking about.
Yeah.
That if I'm getting him the football, he's going to score. Similar to some of these other guys that we've talked about, high end second back, if not the starting back. I think a team that likes to throw the football is going to love him. Mm-hmm. What I got really excited about with him is he's almost cartoonish in a way that he runs. We're like, he just kind of like bounces off of things. It just keeps falling forward. And
like
just keeps
Wiley Coyote or something like that.
Kind of. it's hilarious to see the way that he runs. And I kind of tweeted about this where it feels like he's just constantly stealing yards, where he's just barreling through things, not necessarily like running through contact and like running anyone over, but he gets hit and he goes flying almost and just keeps taking more yards when like you don't expect him to get the extra yard. So
sure.
I love that very rare trait that it's hard to find in a running back.
I would say he's one of what, two home run threats on this list? I mean, I would say Wright and Ali are home run threats. Tyrone Tracy, kind of. He's got some home run-ish to his background as well. But yeah, those are the two home run guys. Number three, just skating over real quick, my friend. Yeah, already talked about him. What's that?
You had Jonathan Brooks, right?
I had Jonathan Brooks. So don't want to go too far into him. We already had a deeper conversation over him. But yes, he is number three on my list. All the athletic traits in the world. I just think he needs to play the position more and become a little bit more natural. If he does, then I think he has upside of maybe being the best running back in this class. I mean, he has that type of talent.
So this is where we kind of start going off on different tangents. Bucky Irving was number three for me.
Ooh, I feel all right, get it.
I watched him before his testing, and then after his testing came out, it was horrendous. I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to let myself overreact to bad testing. I just think when you watch him, he's got like the choppy feet, the leg drive that you look for. He's one of those guys that does a great job of just kind of fighting for and finding extra yards. I think he's got tremendous body control. I loved his vision. I thought that he did a great job of just finding yards whenever he could. His receiving impact, I think, is going to be felt even more in the NFL for the right team that takes him. I just, he reminds me of Kyren Williams. Like, I really think that like this is a one-to-one comp for Kyren Williams, where like the physical profile and the testing's not great. But because he's just really natural at the position, we're going to watch him end up being really productive in the NFL. And it's going to be like, why did we – he's probably going to go on day three. Well, but this is more of like a me saying, give him a couple of years.
I had my running back seven, Bucky Irving, and I think he's going to be a high-end two on the next level. I don't quite see Kyren, because if you remember, I liked Kyren quite a bit. Because it was – you know what that was about Kyren? Kyren did the little things, right? And I know Bucky has really good contact balance and he catches the football well, but Kyren was such a good pass blocker, man. Like, that was his sticking point, you know? Like, he was just good at pretty much everything, right? Which I think we kind of overlooked a little bit. I don't know if I quite see all around like that with Bucky. I think Bucky's good at a bunch of things. I don't know if I necessarily say he's a great all around in every ass facet, if that makes sense. So I like him. I don't necessarily see him becoming Kyren, but I think that he's going to be a very good running back too at the next level. I definitely see that.
All right, Audric Estime, why is he your number two?
You mentioned that graphic, didn't you, Joe? Didn't you mention that graphic of the efficiency running against loaded boxes? Of all the FBS running backs on that list, who was number one, sir? Who was number one?
It was Audric Estime.
It was Audric Estime by a landslide, man. Look, I know he ran a slow 40, okay? I get it. But the other testing was really good. The explosive stuff was really nice. I think that we're underrating the season he just had for Notre Dame, because I would argue this, Joe. I don't know if you agree with this. Joe Walt, great player, right? Top 5, 10 pick, somewhere in that ballpark. The rest of the offensive line, though, for Notre Dame this past year, really wasn't that great. It really wasn't. It was kind of average.
Okay, I'll concede that.
It was kind of average-ish, really. Despite that, Audric Estime, I feel like every game was making chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what, man. Like, he just has a really good level of vision, physicality, and I believe that he's got very underrated feet. I think that he really does change direction well in tight spaces, and he makes second-level defenders miss in tight quarters as well. I mean, there was one play. Oh, what play was it? It was either Stanford or I think it was Clemson, because he came out roaring against Clemson early on in that game, where he just made a guy miss in space, broke out, and then he did like a double hurdle on one play. Like, this is a much better athlete than we're giving him credit for. If he decided, because we've seen people opt out of testing this cycle, Joe, if Audric Estime decided, you know what, I'm not going to run a 40 this cycle, and he just stood on the explosive stuff and his testing and his on-field, you know, drills and all that type of stuff, I think we'd be talking about him much differently. So I have a late second, early third round grade on Audric. Again, this is not a great running back class, in my opinion. I have a couple third round grades after him, but do not have a lot of high grades. But I think this is a plus starter on the NFL level. I think he gets there, man. Like, yes, it's not pretty all the time. He's not going to break out 80-yard runs like maybe Jalen Wright will occasionally. But I think we're really underrating him as a football player, man. I thought his 2023 film was fantastic for Notre Dame. Really good stuff.
I think that Audric Estime is, without question, the most powerful back and the most physical. Oh, yeah. He's the best guy out of any of these guys in short area.
You don't like his feet though? You don't like his feet in the hole and everything? I mean,
he is a slightly more athletic version of Gus Edwards.
That's such a bad comp. It doesn't even make sense. Here's my reasoning.
All right. Here's my reasoning.
Yep.
I can't get out of my head the long speed issues. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you get a new car and you see your car everywhere, kind of thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You notice that the speed's bad. You go, I watched him after the combine and I noticed he kind of gets caught. You know, he kind of gets caught up quite a bit. I thought his feet were good. I didn't think that they were like crazy good. I thought his change of direction was like average. You know, like I just wasn't enough for me to get like super, super bought in.
Okay.
I think that you draft him and he's the perfect short area guy. He's Jamal Williams. You know, he's Gus Edwards. He's a guy that you want to hand the ball off to him in the red zone. He scores touchdowns. He might be one of those guys that has like 600 yards rushing and like 15 rushing touchdowns. And you're in fantasy are going to be so pissed off because you're like, why didn't I draft this guy? And why did my dickhead coworker who didn't even was on auto draft and started him kind of thing?
I think that he's closer to Jamal Lewis than he is to Jamal Williams. I really do, man.
He's just kind of stiff. Like, I know he's not like a really very bendy, fluid cutter. That's where I get caught up.
He makes guys miss. He makes Seth Curry over the other's miss. I mean,
yeah, we're not going to agree on this one. I knew that this was going to happen. I knew when I had him at 7 and I wrote him down at 7, I was like, shit, we are
Ryan's going to hate him. Yeah.
All right, Trey Benson. Trey Benson's both of
them. I don't have Trey Benson on my list, but.
You're a dick. Trey Benson. I have been on the Trey Benson.
I had Braylon Allen at 1.
Bandwagon.
I had Braylon Allen at 1.
I've been on the Trey Benson bandwagon for the longest time.
Yeah.
When he ran in the 4.3s, it really solidified for me what I knew about him and how good of an athlete he is. Uh-huh. I think physically, you had a guy that not only is going to stretch the field linearly, but he's also a really fluid and easy cutter. Yeah. I love his vision. I think he's a truly impactful receiver. I think he's the only guy in this class for me that like I could sit here and say, you draft him, he's your starting running back. Fantasy running back 1, all that stuff. Like, I just really love everything he brings to the table.
The surest bet is what you're saying. The surest bet. Yeah, I could see that.
Perfect way to put it.
Yeah. I could get there. Yeah. I mean, Trey is just a really good combination. 215 pounds. I don't quite see 4.3 on film, but like I would say 4.4 something and I'd be fine with that, right? Like he's got plenty of speed though to that point. He's a strong runner. Good in space, man. Breaks a lot of tackles. He's very hard to guy to corral in open fields. I think he's got good hands. I don't think he was utilized as much as he could have been at times at Florida State in the passing game. But yeah, I think he's the best all around back in this class. I think he is the surest bet as long as he doesn't, you know, barring injury, obviously, right? Because he did have one major injury in his past when he was at Oregon. So, but I think regardless, Trey Benson is just a really good blend, which is why he finished 11 on my list, right? And I think number 1, Raheem Rockets.
All
right, yeah. Trey Benson's good. What do people want to hear from it? He's a good player. He's a good player, Florida State.
Right.
Good player.
Easiest evaluation. Easiest out of the running back. He's just so well-rounded.
Yeah.
He fits everything that you usually look for when you're trying to describe the top running back.
One surprise that I have here, man, is that I was just looking at the list and you didn't have your boy Isaiah Davis on here. I was actually a little surprised. He actually was close. Finished 12.
Yeah, he was at 11. No, sorry. He was at 12 for me.
Okay.
But I just, like, he's a good example of too many carries on the frame, man. You know, he's one of those guys that I think he's going to be like a phoenix where he could burst onto the scene and like rush for like 900 yards as a rookie. And then he's just gone.
So he's James Robinson. He's James Robinson. Got it.
Yeah. I forget where I was, but I forget what guest appearance I was doing, but I compared him to James Robinson that like he could have like an insanely good rookie year and everyone's gonna be like, oh my God, who is this guy? And then we just don't hear from him again because he's been hit too many times.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it was actually lucky for him that he got banged up that one year at South Dakota State. So he actually came in with less mileage on his tires than he should have had, man, because the last 2 years, they just rode him to death. And I get it. If I would have had him too, I would have rode him to death if I was a coach too. So I get it. Good player, though. Good player. Relax, dude. No one was thinking that except you weirdo.
Okay. At Joe DeLeon at Rise and Draft, folks, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit the like button, drop a comment below, leave us a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in, and make sure you come back when we do our safety show, which is going to be coming up tomorrow, whenever you're listening to this. Enjoy the rest of your week, folks. Talk to you soon.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.